The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Liz Elliott from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm sitting in for Susan Dellinger. And for the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, May 2019, Volume 20, Number 5. This is the second of five installments of the May issue. And on the front this month, we've got Oprah standing up with arms wide open against a white, bright background. And as always, we see the letter O. This month, she's holding it in her hand, and it's in the top left corner of the cover, and it's pictured against an orange background. So we've got a bright white background with that orange square up in the corner, and Oprah's holding that white O against it. Oprah has a big smile on her face, wavy hair blowing in the breeze, and she's pictured in a magenta self-belted sweater dress, and it's paired with orange pumps. She's accessorized with a beautiful magenta shade of lipstick to match her dress, and earrings dangling with magenta stones to tie it all together. The cover quote this month is, "It's possible to have many mothers. There's the one that gave birth to you, and then there are all the women who raised you up." As we do every month on the second installment, we're going to read the world according to Gail. And she's got suggestions for shopping and eating and technology and what to watch and listen to. This month, Gail kicks off the shopping section with a picture of a pair of slippers that looks like a little doggy. Really cute. Black and white spots with little ears that stand straight up. Short-haired dog. And the caption reads, "All my dogs have gone to doggy heaven, but if I still had one, I'd turn it into footwear." Sort of. Custom clones can personalize a pair of plush slippers to look just like your pup. And if you think they don't resemble Mr. Fluffington, the company guarantees your money back. They're $200, but as dog lovers know, you cannot put a price on adorable. And the website they give for that is cuddleclones.com. On the top right-hand side of the page, there's a picture of Gail in a yellow dress, and she's in a restaurant, and she's got a fork full of something very cheesy, looks like pasta with cheese all over. It's a big plate with three different cheese pasta recipes on it, and she is digging in. And it says, "Few things in life are as comforting as macaroni and cheese." So it's a big plate of three different types of macaroni and cheese. So a restaurant that does the gooey dish a dozen ways must be 12 times as comforting. New York City's Mac Bar specializes in a unique flavor combo like Mac Lobster with fresh lobster, cognac, and mascarpone, and my favorite, Cheeseburger Mac. Take a friend because the portions are big and so delicious you'll be saying thank you, Jesus, at the first bite. Underneath that, it looks like a picture of a cell phone with, I don't know, maybe bracelets on it, and one of the bracelets is plugged into the charging outlet of the cell phone, and it says, "Everyone's iPhone wish, a battery that doesn't fizzle out at the worst moment. Thanks to the stylish Q bracelet, your running on empty days are over. When you need some juice, simply open the bangle's clasp, plug your phone into its hidden charger, and voila! For me, it means no more digging through my bottomless bag for a power cord or scrambling for an open outlet." And it is listed at $149, and the website is qdesigns.co. On the bottom right-hand corner of the page, there's a picture of actress Sandra Oh looking surprised. The caption says, "I've loved Sandra Oh since Grey's Anatomy, so I was excited when her new show, Killing Eve, began getting buzz. A recent 14-hour flight to Hawaii was the perfect time to learn what everyone was raving about. Sandra plays Eve, a spy tracking an unhinged assassin, Villanelle, played by Jodie Comer. Twist, Villanelle has her sights set on Eve. I can't wait for season 2 to premiere April 7th on BBC America, though I'll have to manage watching episodes week to week rather than binging while on a long plane ride to paradise." And on the left-hand side of the page, you see a girl wandering through what looks like a high school hallway. She has big, natural, curly hair, pink glasses, and a bright pink windowpane check business suit on. It says, can you picture a 10-year-old coming up with a movie idea and studio execs greenlighting it? Me either, but that's what Marseille Martin did. Marseille plays Diane on Black-ish, and now she's taking over the silver screen with Little, an update on the Tom Hanks classic, Big. In the reimagined version, Regina Hall plays a ruthless tech CEO who torments her staff until the day she transforms into her 13-year-old self, played by a fearless Marseille. Throw Issa Rae into the mix as Regina's hilarious yet hounded assistant, and you've got major black girl magic. On April 12th, Little will be Big. And that is the world according to Gail for May. Next, we're going to move to the Live Your Best Life section. And the front page of the Live Your Best Life section features two women in a coffee shop. You see a beautiful, very natural looking wood floor in the coffee shop. Same thing with the table. They're looking at each other over a table. Nice, soft, natural wood, not a very fancy finish on it. One girl is wearing a denim jacket with a scarf over it. Her hair's pulled back, and her hands are up as if she were talking. One hand is resting on a beautiful turquoise ceramic cup with what looks like a latte inside. It's got the foam on top with a little design on it. Her companion across the table has a cup of the same style, with the same drink in it, maybe a little cinnamon sprinkled on top. She's got a short-sleeved sweater on. It's kind of white with blue and green specks on it, and a scarf wrapped around her neck with the same colors of blue and green in the scarf to pick up the colors in the sweater. And she's got a cell phone on the table beside her. These ladies are clearly in the midst of a conversation, something very serious, it appears, and the quote underneath it says, I'm sure that if the mothers of various nations could meet, there would be no more wars. That's E.M. Forrester from Howard's End. And we'll start the Live Your Best Life section by looking at the high five, and it's a whole handful of things to cheer about this month. In the top left corner, we'll start with a photo of two men. They're on a stage playing music. They're in front of microphones, and their arms are up in the air. One of them has a guitar on. They're leading the crowd in some sort of song. There's a beautiful blurred background behind them, and you can see twinkling lights. And the caption says, the music men, they'd like to teach the world to sing. Twice a week, Toronto-based pair David Goldman and Nobu Alderman host Choir, 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 a drop-in singing event at which hundreds of participants pay $5 to learn and perform karaoke night staples like Toto's Africa, Rihanna's Umbrella, and Adele's Hello. Want to join the chorus? The epic sing-alongs regularly come to U.S. theaters. Visit choirchoirchoir.com to find out where they're rocking next. To the right of that, there's a really cute little birdhouse that looks exactly like a tiny vintage Shasta trailer with a big hook on the top. A little opening for the bird is on there. The bottom of the trailer is painted in a turquoise color, and the top is a white, and even has little wheels on it. And the caption says, home, tweet home. The coolest crib on the block is for the birds. Nashville Design Studio One Man, One Garage crafts laser-cut kits for building birdhouses that pay homage to old-school campers, right down to the decorative window shades. And for those who want to place one on a sill or a perch, a welcome mat, and lawn flamingos. The website to purchase the birdhouse is onemanonegarage.com, and that's the number one, man, the number one, garage.com. below that, there's a picture of a young reddish dog with ears flopped over, and he has on a vest, and affixed to the vest is a laminated name tag. And the caption reads, "Extra credit." Since the mass shooting in February 2018 at Florida's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, Emma, who is the dog below, and a rotating pack of about 40 other therapy dogs have provided solace and support to students and staffers every day. So it's only fitting that the school's 2019 yearbook will commemorate the K-9 crew. This fall, 15 of the pooches posed for photos that will appear alongside student portraits. Teachers' pets? You bet. Beside that, there's a young man with a hoodie on, and he's holding a big basket full of different colors of balls of yarn. Purple and orange and green and blue and lots of mixed balls of yarn. And the caption says, "Knitwit." When Jonah Larson was 5 years old, he watched a crochet tutorial on YouTube and was hooked. 6 years later, the talented Wisconsin tween has built a cozy business and an Instagram following at Jonah Hands, making blankets, potholders, pillows, baskets, and cowls. And he donates some of his earnings to Roots Ethiopia, a nonprofit that supports rural villages in the country, including Jerame, where he was born. Above that, you see a picture of three ladies in matching white uniforms, and the caption reads, "Novel idea." The Women's Storybook Project of Texas has helped 15,000 plus incarcerated moms write a new chapter. Every month, the nonprofit's volunteers visit prisons across the Lone Star State to record inmates as they read classics like Goodnight Moon and The Runaway Bunny, and the recordings and books are then mailed to the women's children. To support more families this Mother's Day, go to storybookproject.org. And that is this month's high five. Now we're moving to May's Live My Best Life celebrity interview. And this month they are interviewing Rutina Wesley. Why we love her? For the steel nerves she brings to every role. Remember Tara, the nothing but truth-telling human turned vampire on the fantastical True Blood? And just to the right, there is a picture of Rutina Wesley pictured against a soft green background. And she's standing with one hand in her pocket and the other hand holding a very long braided ponytail out to the side. And it looks as if she drops it, it's going to swing right down to her waist. It's so long. And she's wearing a beautiful, brilliant royal blue pair of pants. Very shiny, very silky looking with a matching royal blue top with orange soft flowers and lighter blue flowers and a floral pattern all over the top. And on her feet, she has beautiful, bright canary yellow high heels with pointy toes for an accent. Lately, she's been starring as Nova Bordelon on OWN's family drama Queen Sugar, which is back for its fourth season on June 12th. And these are five things that Rutina Wesley cannot live without. And the first is hugs from my fiance. Rutina says, after a hectic 12-hour day on set that leaves me exhausted, Shonda is there with arms literally wide open. I could choose to bring work home and unload on her, but instead, we get a moment of peace and stillness. My coffee table. It's covered in books I've received from Ava DuVernay. A signed The Wisdom of Sundays book from Oprah and magazine covers featuring Serena Williams, Tracy Ellis Ross, and Lupita Nyong'o. Seeing beautiful blackness spread across the table fills me with hope and pride. She also cannot live without Now and Later candies. I love them ever since they cost only 5 cents. I'll buy an entire box at a gas station, and the attendant usually looks at my teeth to make sure they're still all there. But I don't eat them whenever I want. Apparently, you're not supposed to have candy every day. And the song she cannot live without is Like the Way I Do by Melissa Etheridge. I've been singing that song at karaoke since I was 18. I actually Instagrammed a video of me performing it in New Orleans, and Melissa liked it. She didn't leave a comment, but that basically said, "Hey, I see you, Rutina," and I lost my marbles. And finally, Rutina Wesley cannot live without four-hour deep tissue massages. And yes, she said 4 hours. And that's Rutina Wesley's My Best Life interview for the May issue of Oprah. Now we're moving to the Let's Eat section. The front page of the Let's Eat section is filled from top to bottom, side to side, with pictures of green onions. It's just green onions lying horizontally all over the page. And it says, singular sensation, spring alliums, scallions, leeks, spring onions, and chives. Members of the allium plant family are back in action at grocery stores and farmers markets, just waiting to liven up your meals with their bright color and bolder bite. Allium is Latin for garlic, another species in the fragrant group that also includes shallots and onions. The next page has a sidebar of information entitled Sound Bites, and it's all little tiny pieces of information, just little facts about alliums. And the first says, frittatas, noodle bowls, savory pastries. Whatever dish you enhance with the season's alliums, the result will be sharp and satisfying. It's like the very essence of spring made edible. Spring onion sweetness intensifies when heated. Remove the tips and roots, brush with olive oil, and grill on medium heat until tender, about 10 minutes. Sprinkle with salt and pepper and serve as a side with meats or fish. Scallion and green onion are different names for the same vegetable. And it's the right pick if you want a subtler version of the classic onion taste. The white parts of the green onion on the bottom, on the bulb, pack the strongest flavor. And down at the bottom of the page, on the last little soundbite, they have a picture of what looks to be a vegetable or a plant that has the green onion-like small root bottom, and then a long, thin, pinkish stem that opens up to a more floral or a leaf that looks more like a flower and less like that classic onion grass type leaf on the top. And it says, ramps are wild plants similar to leeks. And if you're lucky enough to find them at the produce stand, don't pass them up. They're both garlicky and oniony, and they make potatoes and soups perfectly pungent. And they're available only for a fleeting 2 months, from about mid-April to early June in most states. In this installment, I'm going to give you the recipe for leek, mushroom, and spinach galette. And there's a picture of it at the bottom of the page. It's this very rustic-looking white plate. And on it, there is a pastry covered in vegetables on the top. Yeah, I can see mushrooms and, of course, onions. And the edge of the pastry is folded over all of the vegetables. Looks very filling, very rustic. And the recipe for the leek, mushroom, and spinach galette makes 4 servings, and the total time should take about 25 minutes. The ingredients are 11.5 ounces of pre-made, pre-rolled pie crust, 2 tablespoons of butter divided, 3 leeks trimmed and then finely sliced, 3.5 ounces of spinach, which is about 3.5 cups, kosher salt, 5 ounces of button mushrooms sliced, that's about 2 cups, 1 garlic clove crushed, 3.5 ounces of cream cheese softened, thyme leaves from 2 sprigs of thyme, and 1 medium egg beaten. Place large baking sheet in oven and preheat to 400. Unroll the pie crust onto a large sheet of parchment paper. roll out farther to make a rough square about 1/8 of an inch thick. Chill that in the refrigerator. Meanwhile, in a large pan over medium heat, melt 1 tablespoon of butter. Add leeks and sauté until soft, about 10 minutes. Add the spinach and stir until almost wilted. Season with salt to taste and transfer to a plate. Return the pan to high heat and add the remaining 1 tablespoon of butter. Add mushrooms and sauté until golden, about 5 minutes. Add the garlic and fry that for 1 minute. Set all of that aside. Mix the cream cheese with the thyme. Remove the pastry from the fridge and spread cream cheese into a rough 8.5-inch circle in the center. Spoon on the leeks and the spinach and top with mushrooms. Fold the pastry edges over in a loose, rustic style. Brush that pastry border with some egg. Very carefully transfer it with parchment paper to the preheated sheet and bake it until crisp and golden, which should take about 30 minutes, and serve. Our final recipe this month is for sesame veggie noodles. And the picture of the sesame veggie noodles is a pile of noodles on a white plate, and they have a beautiful sprinkle of sesame seeds. They look a little toasted, and these beautiful green onions just over the top. Looks very fresh. The recipe for sesame veggie noodles makes 4 servings, and the total time to cook should be about 20 minutes. You need 12 ounces of cooked linguine, 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame oil, 1 bunch of scallions, thinly sliced plus more for garnish, 2 cups of shredded carrots, 1 bunch of rainbow chard, roughly chopped, 3 large eggs, beaten, 1/4 cup soy sauce, 2 tablespoons molasses, and 1/2 teaspoon of ground black pepper and sesame seeds for garnish. Cook the linguine according to package instructions. Meanwhile, in a deep, large skillet over medium heat, cook sesame oil, scallions, and carrots for 5 minutes. Add the chard. Cook 2 minutes, stirring. Add eggs. Cook 2 minutes, stirring occasionally. Add cooked and drained linguine, soy sauce, molasses, and pepper. Cook 1 minute, stirring and tossing frequently. Transfer to 4 plates. Garnish with sesame seeds and green onions and serve. Now we'll wrap up the Let's Eat section and move to the Oh Beautiful section. And it's a big month in the Oh Beautiful section because it is time for the Spring Beauty Awards for 2019. And the opening page of the Oh Beautiful section features a trophy made of what looks to be golden eyeshadow. It's really beautiful. It's very iridescent, very shiny, and just put on a palette and shaped into an urn-like trophy, like a cup almost. And it reads, Makeup Mavens, Skincare Devotees, Hair Product Fiends. It's the moment you've been waiting for. A brand new lineup of lotions, potions, powders, and glosses. We tirelessly tried them all to present you with this winner circle of gorgeous possibilities. We also recruited a team of O-readers to do some real-world testing and weigh in on the most noteworthy newcomers. Look for the reader raves. Let the games begin. And below that it says an award-worthy partnership. Like O, the Oprah magazine, Dove is committed to diversity and representation in media. It's why Dove, Girl Gaze, and Getty Images have collaborated to create Project hashtag show us, a collection of images by female photographers that is designed to expand the cultural definition of beauty. All the pictures of women on the following pages are from product Show Us, and because each subject is uniquely beautiful, we asked them to share their philosophy on looking great. So we will get into some of those over the next few weeks as well. But the first page of the Spring Beauty Awards for 2019 are for face. And it says, whether your complexion is like a delicate flower or a dry tumbleweed, there's a comprehensive regimen just for you. And we're going to begin with the Reader Rave. The Aveeno Positively Radiant Micellar Gel Cleanser left my face feeling soft and clean. It also removed every trace of my makeup without being too harsh or leaving behind an oily residue. And that is from Anna Yanta, who is 30, from San Antonio. Now, they break the cleansers, creams, and treatments up into four categories: dry skin, oily skin, combo skin, and sensitive skin. And we will begin in the dry skin category. And the cleanser recommended for dry skin is Strivectin Hyaluronic Gel Cushion Cleanser. This silky gel washes away grime while replenishing moisture. Made with aloe and hyaluronic acid, it leaves skin clean but not too tight. You can find that at Strivectin.com, and it lists for $29. The award winner for Dry Skin Day Cream is Pond's Rejuvenesce Anti-Wrinkle Daily Moisturizer with SPF 30. Even dry outer layers need a little slough love. Lactic acid softens the look of fine lines and wrinkles, while collagen leaves skin supple. You can find the Pond's Rejuvenesce Day Cream in drugstores, and it lists for $10. The Dry Skin Night Cream winner is Glam Glow Good in Bed Passion Fruit Softening Night Cream. Sleep your way to softness with this rich moisturizer, bursting with thirst-quenching passion fruit oil and squalene. $54, glamglow.com. And finally, the winner for best treatment for dry skin is the Estee Lauder Perfectionist Pro Instant Resurfacing Peel. A mix of potent acids, glycolic, citric, tartaric, and salicylic, is blended with hyaluronic acid to gently whisk away dulling dead cells. $75, EsteeLauder.com. Now moving to the oily skin category, the Spring Beauty Award 2019 winner for Best Cleanser for Oily Skin is Neutrogena Pink Grapefruit Acne Prone Skin Activated Cream to Foam Cleanser. Thousands of microbubbles enriched with exfoliating grapefruit extract lift off dirt, oil, and makeup. $8.50, and that can be found at drugstores. The best day cream for oily skin is Olay Sun Facial Sunscreen Plus Shine Control SPF 35. This antioxidant-rich, oil-free emulsion offers broad-spectrum protection that keeps your complexion matte all day long. That can be found in drugstores for roughly $27. The best night cream for oily skin is Paula's Choice Clear Oil-Free Moisturizer. Oily types require the right hydration. This lightweight lotion won't exacerbate breakouts and calms redness with pumpkin and blueberry. $29, paulaschoice.com. And finally, the award winner for treatment for oily skin is Garnier Skin Active Black Peel-Off Mask with Charcoal. Absorptive charcoal soaks up pore clogging dirt and impurities so you can gently extract them from your skin as you remove the mask. That can be found at drugstores for $8. Moving on to the combination skin category, the cleanser that won the Spring Beauty Award for Combination Skin is also a reader rave, and it's the Aveeno Positively Radiant Micellar Gel Cleanser. Make quick work of blemish-causing gunk while treating skin to the moisture-boosting benefits of kiwi and the soothing powers of soy. That can be found at Target.com for $8. The winner for Best Day Cream for Combination Skin is CeraVe Hydrating Sunscreen with SPF 50. This 100% mineral sunscreen is oil-free and loaded with skin-reinforcing ceramides. That can be found at drugstores for $16. The Spring Beauty Award winner for Best Night Cream for Combo Skin is Fresh Lotus Youth Preserve Dream Face Cream. Lotus extract revs up moisture and radiance as you snooze, so you wake up looking rested, even if you stayed up past your bedtime. Fresh.com, $48. And finally, the award winner for Best Treatment for Combo Skin is L'Oreal Paris Revitalift Derm Intensives 1.5% Pure Hyaluronic Acid Serum. Two types of hyaluronic acid combine in this potent serum that both hydrates and plumps. $30, L'OrealParisUSA.com. Finally, moving to the sensitive skin category, the best cleanser for sensitive skin, according to the Spring Beauty Awards for 2019, is Physician's Formula, the Perfect Matcha 3-in-1 Melting Cleansing Balm. A balm that dissolves makeup and lifts dirt without irritating your complexion. That lists for $13.50 and it can be found at drugstores. The award winner for Best Day Cream for Sensitive Skin is La Roche-Posay Anthelios Mineral Sunscreen Gentle Lotion SPF 50. Mineral sunscreens are best for delicate complexions. This lotion also nixes parabens and fragrance. It lists for $30 and it can be found at drugstores. The winner for Best Night Cream for Sensitive Skin is L'Oreal Paris Age Perfect Hydra Nutrition Night Balm. Manuka honey is the magic ingredient here, providing you with 48 hours of non-sticky hydration. That list for $20 and it can be found at drugstores. And finally, the best treatment for sensitive skin is the Rene Rouleau Skin Recovery Lotion. With a barrier-strengthening blend of plant sugars, panthenol, and mallow extract, this lotion will calm irritated skin in no time. $43.50, ReneRouleau.com. And those are the award winners for Face for the Spring Beauty Awards 2019. Now we're going to move to the Feeling Good section. And the front page of the Feeling Good section has a 1940s style nurse on the front. She has the 40s hairdo and the old-fashioned nurse cap, the white nurse cap, pinned into her hair. But superimposed is an almost cartoonish superhero cape with the Superman S logo emblazoned on her chest, and the caption reads, "Nurses to the rescue. They work tirelessly in the name of safety, comfort, and care. Meet five women who saved the day or at least mightily improved it." The first two women featured are Karen Davis and Nicole Jolly. Through the windows of the Adventist Health Feather River Hospital in Paradise, California, Nicole Jolly could see a terrifying orange blaze. At 7:15 that morning, Jolly's boss had informed the staff of a fire on the other side of the canyon. 10 minutes later, the loudspeakers blared, "Code Black, get out now!" The fast-moving flames, part of the deadly campfire of November 2018, were licking the trees behind the hospital. Jolly joined her best friend, fellow surgical nurse Karen Davis, in lining up the tiny hospital's 67 patients in the ER and loading them into vehicles. In 45 harrowing minutes, all the patients were on their way to nearby medical centers. Jolly and Davis performed a final sweep of the now smoke-filled ER, sprinting out before the fire doors locked shut. Knowing that local hospitals would need their help, they planned to drive to Enloe Medical Center in Chico, but within minutes of heading down the two-lane road, their only way out, a fire tornado, born from high wind gusts and flaming embers, blocked their way. Suddenly, Davis's truck caught fire. Jolly's car stalled. Jolly dashed through the flames and tried to open Davis's driver's side door, but the handle had melted. Seeing only smoke inside, she pounded on the window and shouted Davis's name until the fire roared so loud and the air grew so hot that she had to flee. She stumbled through the smoke and into, of all things, a fire engine. There was only one direction the truck could go, back to the hospital. All I could think about was Karen, Jolly says. But paradise was burning. Terrified residents were seeking safety at the hospital. Jolly joined staff members who had set up a triage area in the parking lot and cried out when she saw the nurse working next to her. "You're alive! You're alive!" shouted Davis. She'd been sitting, dazed, in her car, listening to her daughter on the phone imploring her to get out of there, when Jolly's knock compelled her to make a run for it. For the next 2 hours, the two friends worked as a team. Jolly was one of the few staffers left who knew the codes to the locked ER and ICU doors, so she and Davis braved the suffocating smoke to gather supplies. Outside, Davis distributed blankets and vending machine snacks, and Jolly dressed wounds and monitored heart rates. "I was fixing problems while Karen was making everyone feel safe and at ease," she says. By 4 p.m., Davis and Jolly were able to leave the scene in a co-worker's car. Jolly texted her mother, a nurse at Enloe, to check on her patients there. Only later did Davis and Jolly tend to themselves. Davis took her overdue blood pressure medication, and Jolly was treated for burns and smoke inhalation. One of Jolly's charges from that day tracked her down later on Facebook. "You were my nurse, and you were so calm." But both nurses say that the credit goes to their entire team. Davis adds, "Taking care of patients took the focus off our fear." The next featured nurse is Sandy Kayo. In 2008, Sandy Kayo was working as a clinical nurse in hematology, oncology, and bone marrow transplant when she noticed something. African-American transplant patients had more complications than white patients, she says, and many were dying. Kayo realized this was likely because only about 4% of bone marrow donors are black. 47% are white, so black patients are significantly less likely to find their perfect life-saving match. The discrepancy stayed with her, and 3 years later, when pursuing a doctorate in nursing practice, she chose to focus on the health disparities African Americans face. Kayo found that many people of color are reluctant to get involved in medical research because they're strongly mistrustful, for good reason. Between the Tuskegee study, in which U.S. government scientists followed hundreds of impoverished Southern black men with syphilis over decades without ever offering proper treatment, the case of Henrietta Lacks, the African-American woman whose cancer cells were taken and used for research without her consent, and many less publicized abuses, the medical establishment has a lot to answer for. But Kayo is tired of seeing patients of color miss out, so she started organizing events focused on informing members of underserved black communities that sharing their medical data is critical to improving health outcomes. Most recently, on a cold afternoon in January in a common room at a St. Paul Community Baptist Church in Brooklyn, Kayo and 9 colleagues from the National Black Nurses Association served up jerk chicken, rice and peas, sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, carrots, greens, and a side of free blood pressure screenings. Kayo and her team assured the 49 people of color in attendance that clinical trials are safe and personal info is protected. The nurses emphasize that when people of color aren't included in research, they're left out of discoveries that could one day save their lives or those of their loved ones. Afterwards, a participant told her, "We've never seen researchers who look like you and explain things the way that you did." This spring, Kayo will co-host another event in Brooklyn at which she'll encourage people to register with the All of Us research program, whose goal is to gather life-saving information for more than a million Americans. Says Kayo, the impact will be felt for generations. The next nurse featured is Sharon T. Smith. It's the most dreaded phrase to come from a doctor's mouth. There's nothing more we can do. In other words, this is the end. But this is where Sharon T. Smith's work begins. As a hospice and palliative care nurse practitioner, Smith tends to the sickest of the sick. She covers four North Carolina counties in her Honda Fit, visiting people where they live. When Smith meets a new patient, she says, "I'm here to help you feel as good as you can for as long as you can." Often, she can bring relief simply by adjusting a patient's position in her chair or fetching a glass of cold water and sitting with her while she sips. A key part of her job is listening to someone's story and bearing witness to their journey through illness, Smith explains. Laura Hend, 39, who has a degenerative disc disease and has been Smith's patient for about a year, says it's like having a best friend come and visit. "With Sharon, I don't mind discussing things that would be too hard to discuss with anyone else." Smith came to her branch of nursing 2 years ago after working as a nurse practitioner in an outpatient brain tumor clinic. One patient, a lawyer in his early 30s, decided to discontinue his treatment because it was causing intolerable side effects and was not working. After he died, his mother told Smith that he'd suffered immensely, his body racked by seizures right up to the end. "I think of that often," says Smith, "as I strive to keep all patients comfortable, but especially in those last weeks, days, or hours of life." For 3 years, Smith has been sharing her ideas about focusing on the whole person, not just their illness, with Duke medical students as part of a course on how to interact with and examine patients. "Even when there's no cure," she says, "there are still many ways to bring patients comfort and peace." The final nurse featured in the Feeling Good section is Deborah Reed. The 100 farmers sitting in the rec hall couldn't stop talking. One confessed a fear he'd been keeping private. His father had Alzheimer's, and after decades of rising with the sun, walking up to the fields, and climbing aboard his tractor, he couldn't be persuaded to stop. Even though he didn't have keys, he could still get hurt. The son fretted, "I'm worried I won't see him out there when I'm working and will run him over." What brought the farmers out of their shell wasn't a town hall meeting. It was a seat at one of the hottest shows in town. In community theaters across Kentucky, Virginia, and Tennessee, farmers have been gathering to watch low-budget plays about a topic full of heart and drama: health and agricultural safety. Across the room, a middle-aged man said he'd faced and solved a similar problem. When the family finally moved the tractor out of sight, the grandfather stopped trying to drive it. "We may have saved a life that night," says Deborah Reed, PhD, a professor of nursing and agricultural health at the University of Kentucky and the creator of these events. Throughout the country, there were an estimated 58,385 farm injuries, more than six every hour in 2014. And 28% of farm operators are older than 65, according to data from 2012, the most recent available. More than 97% of the 2 million plus farms in the U.S. are family run, many with 10 or fewer employees, making them exempt from the federal law intended to keep workers safe. These farms are self-regulated, which means if someone's working with machinery and gets his arm amputated, it's his responsibility, says Reed, who herself comes from a long line of Kentucky farmers. Reed realized in 2012 that with no one looking out for them, farmers need to be informed enough to protect themselves. Pamphlets were easy to ignore, though, and farmers had no patience for lectures. They learned their occupation by living it and listening to their peers, says Reed. She researched reader's theater, a type of pared-down performance in which actors read from scripts. In 2014, with a grant from the CDC, Reed launched Farm Dinner Theater. At 9 sites across 3 states, she partnered with locals to create scripts about pressing health and safety issues and recruited reader actors. Advertisements in newsletters and on the radio enticed farmers to reserve tickets. "We wanted it to feel like a night out," Reed said. The reviews have been terrific. Nearly 40% of theater goers shared their new knowledge with non-attendees, and 60% made changes in their health or farm work behavior within 2 weeks. Every performance has a waiting list, and Reed developed an online toolkit for communities to stage their own shows. Duval and Eleanor Sims, who own a 140-acre cattle farm in Stamford, Kentucky, were honored to have been cast in a performance. 2 years later, neighbors still talk about how much they loved the show. The Simses, too, have taken their roles to heart. "Before, when I'd get up on the ladder, I wouldn't ask for help," says Duval, 74. "Since the show, she comes with me," Eleanor adds with a laugh. "He says I have us on granny time, but we both know it's safer that way." Now we're going to go back to the feeling good section of December 2018 and take a look at the healthy office makeover. Feel alert and ready to work from manic Monday to casual Friday. Did you get the memo? Working in an office may take a toll on your health, but you can cultivate a healing environment with these feel good fixes. The first is sound of solitude. Office din not only distracts, but may also sap motivation, according to a small study from Cornell University. Block out the commotion and lose yourself in your focus music or silence with the Bose Quiet Comfort 20 acoustic noise canceling headphones at Bose.com. They sit discreetly inside your ears, so cubicle mates won't notice you're ignoring them. If someone needs your attention, you just press a button to tune in. They also recommend taking breaths of fresh air. Many office buildings have poor ventilation that traps chemical pollutants from carpeting and furniture, as well as allergens. Breathe a little easier with a Levoit LV-H132 air purifier, a compact plug-in device that has a HEPA filter to catch dust, mold, and unhealthy volatile organic compounds, plus an activated carbon filter to keep the air in your office smelling fresh. A treat for feet. Using a standing desk might be a good way to get out of your chair, but you're not guaranteed to actually move around more. And time on your feet can lead to body aches. Australian researchers found that 2 hours of standing at a desk resulted in swelling in the legs and all-over discomfort. The cushioned ergo-driven Topo standing mat has raised edges and varied surfaces that encourage shifting your weight throughout the day. That can be found at ergodriven.com. And finally, order, order! A cluttered desk sometimes indicates an overwhelmed mind and may prompt less savvy food choices, too. That's according to researchers from the University of Minnesota, who found that people chose a more nutritious snack after performing a task in a tidy setting rather than a disorderly one. Stay organized and away from the vending machine with a desktop file sorter that keeps everything in its place. You can find Pink Sunburst Files, $5 for 6, and Russell plus Hazel Acrylic File Sorter for $24 at thecontainerstore.com. We've got a little bit of time left in the hour, and we're going to take a look back to the March 2017 issue of Oprah Magazine in the Live Your Best Life section, and it's an article about a NASA research psychologist named Erin Flynn Evans, and she is studying sleep in space. And there's a big picture of a galaxy and a picture of Erin Flynn Evans with a research facility, and she's got this head form in her hand, and it has this sort of foam helmet around it with all kinds of wires and leads hooked to it, and a third picture of an astronaut sleeping in an International Space Station lab. The title of the article is Bed and Beyond. NASA research psychologist Erin Flynn Evans is all over the nap. Astronauts are real-life superheroes, defying gravity, hurtling through the galaxy at astonishing speeds. But like mere mortals, they can't do their best work without a good night's sleep. Ensuring that they're rested is part of the job of research psychologist Erin Flynn Evans, Ph.D., head of NASA's snooze-inducingly named Ames Research Center Fatigue Countermeasures Laboratory. As the chief of cosmic slumber, Flynn Evans studies astronauts and pilots' sleep and develops strategies to help them stay alert. We asked her about her tireless devotion on her dream job. On any given day, I could be speaking with an astronaut who recently returned from a mission to see whether the new sleeping bags were too hot or too cold, or studying a pilot's brainwaves as she flies from San Francisco to Hong Kong. In some cases, I manage the NASA team's fatigue on Earth. For instance, when the Curiosity rover landed on Mars in 2012, I sat in mission control to help the project's engineers adjust to Mars time, where the day is 39 minutes longer. On Catching Z's in Zero G. The most luxurious sleeping accommodations are on the International Space Station, or ISS, where each crew member has a cabin the size of a telephone booth with a sleeping bag. Some prefer to free float, which means they inevitably bump into walls. On space shuttles, way less glamorous, the entire crew shared one room with hammocks. If someone got up to use the bathroom in the night, everyone was up. On snoozing altitude, the ISS orbits Earth every 90 minutes, which means astronauts see 16 sunrises and sunsets daily. To help them stay on a 24-hour clock, we use a variety of what we call countermeasures, scheduling 8 hours of sleep at the same time every day, giving the crew coffee if they need a boost. But astronauts still experience short sleep, and we're not sure why. It's possible that being in a weightless environment makes them restless, which would be a problem for future deep space exploration. Or maybe we just don't need as much sleep in microgravity. It's my job to help solve that mystery. And finally this month, we are going to go back to our current May 2019 issue of Oprah Magazine. And right in the middle of the feature section, there's a two-page spread of about seven young girls dancing around in drum majorette costumes. They're pink and purple, different stripes, full skirts, and they're covered with purple and silver sequined stripes on them as well. And each girl has on a tall, fuzzy, almost beef-eater style hat in different colors. Some are purple, some are bright pink, some are green, and they're all dancing. And the article reads, "The Drummies of Dr. Vander Ross Primary School, Cape Town." Carol Flores, the deputy principal, says, "Our majorette team's nickname is the Drummy. We have 51 members, ranging from the first to seventh grade. The routines are complex. They involve learning choreography, mastering a mace or flag, feeling the music. It's a lot to remember, especially considering the youngest girls are only six. We scold, instruct, and hope for the best, and inevitably our jaws drop at how they excel. At a competition last year, the team left with a huge trophy and 40 medals. Walking with the medals clinking around their necks, the girls sounded like sheep. We were so proud. Our area is very poor and crime-ridden. I can sympathize because I grew up in the ghetto, raised by a single mom under apartheid. Nowadays, local gangs sometimes get into gunfights in the fields where the girls are practicing. We run for cover. When the shooting's done, we go back outside and continue. Rain or sunshine, they must practice. Marisha Prince, head coach, says, "We're strict with the girls. If you don't keep a firm hand, gangsters will tempt the older ones onto a bad path. With a boyfriend like me, you'd get plenty of money and jewelry." Their parents might work long hours or struggle with addiction. At the end of practice recently, one 8-year-old complained, "Ma'am, at home, everyone will be drunk." Lots of girls have a reason for not wanting to go home. Sometimes I don't even want to know the entire story because getting more emotionally involved will eat me alive. We won our first national majorette competition in 2010, and when they called our name, many of the girls were frozen in disbelief. They're not used to winning. Fundamentally, my goal isn't helping them to improve at maneuvering a flag. It is to teach them that it's possible to have a better life beyond what they can imagine. We've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm Liz Elliott, sitting in for Susan Dellinger, and we read for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.